Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Mo H. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Tuesday. This is December the 17th and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today's readers are for the 12 steps, J.D., for the 12 traditions, Mary P., and the readers of the text are Tanya P., Sherry M., and Barbara A. Today we'll be reading from the Big Book on how it works, page 65, second paragraph, begins with, "We were usually as definite as this example." We're going to be reading all these examples all the way down through the last example, pride, personal sex, relations, security, and fear. And the comments will be on all these examples. The share ID for Monday, December the 16th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,998. That's 21998. And for this morning's meeting, Tuesday, December the 17th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,000. That's 22000. Our newcomer greeter is Diane B., and our announcements person is Shelley E., and thank you all for your service. OA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous, is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask J.D. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Shay. Star one to unmute shit.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. Just a little bit louder if you can. Okay?
How's that? Is that better?
Much better. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Mo, thank you so much for your service. Happy Tuesday, everyone. Shady in California. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me read today, and I pass.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, J.D. And I will now ask Mary P. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you. This is Mary P. from Austin, Texas, and these are the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service this morning, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Mary P. How our meeting works. Oops. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and there is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. And once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to remute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 65 in the chapter How It Works, the second paragraph down. We were usually as definite as this example. We're going to read through all those examples, ending with pride, personal sex relations, security, and fear. And the comments will be on all of those examples. And I will now ask Tanya P. to get us started. Good morning. Good morning, Tanya.
Good morning, Mo. This is Tanya P., gratefully recovered in Michigan. And I will do the reading. We were usually as definite as this example. I'm resentful at Mr. Brown. The cause, his attention to my wife. Told my wife of my mistress. Brown may get my job at the office. This affects my self-relations, sex relations, self-esteem. There's fear involved, sex relations, self-esteem, fear involved, security, and self-esteem with fear involved. I'm resentful at Mrs. Jones. She's a nut. She snubbed me. She committed her husband for drinking. He's my friend. She's a gossip. This affects my personal relationships and my self-esteem, and there's fear involved. My employer, unreasonable, unjust, overbearing, threatens to fire me for drinking and padding my expense account. This affects my self-esteem, there's fear involved, and my security. My wife, she misunderstands and nags, likes brown, wants name put in her house. This affects personal sex relations, security, and fear. So we were given in the first, the two preceding, some directions. Make a list of the people we are resentful at, the people, institutions, or principles. This list just has people, but you can list institutions or principles. Then we asked ourselves why we were angry, and we wrote down the causes and then what it affected. Generally, we do this in columns. So I'm resentful at Mr. Brown, Mrs. Jones, my employer, and my wife. Then we go back and I say, Mr. Brown, I'm angry at him because of his attention to my wife. And this affects my sex relations, my self-esteem, and I have some fear involved. Some of these are quite embarrassing. So Mr. Brown's paying attention to my wife, and he's also going to threaten to tell my wife of my mistress. So, you know, the most important part of this is we just write down everything, regardless of embarrassment or fear, because we're going to put that fear down. We're going to say, okay, I'm afraid about this one. And we're just going to follow these directions. In OA, or my experience of OA with a person who attended Vision for You, I was given very specific directions. And the whole point is to follow those directions and just write down everything on your grudge list. We don't have to take any action beyond that at this point. It's just a matter of getting the list written. And it's sometimes feels very daunting, but the best advice I received from a sponsor was just do this in chunks. Write your list. Just get your list down of all the people you have a grudge against. And then go back and work for 10 minutes, take one person and write things down. You'll notice that the causes are very short. I've heard it said 19 words or less. Don't give me the whole story. And that's probably the most, that's a really important direction too. It's very succinct. And that's my understanding of this paragraph. Thank you for allowing me to share. And I pass.
Well, thank you, Tanya P., for getting us started. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph on page 65? It begins with, we were usually as definite as this example, reading through all those examples, ending with pride, personal sex relations, security, where fear is involved. Who would like to comment?
Bruce in Florida.
Bruce E. Gotcha, Bruce.
Sherry Z in California.
Okay, Sherry.
Barbara A, California.
Barbara A. Anyone else?
Barbara S., New York.
Barbara S., New York. Okay, we'll go with that line up there. Bruce E., Sherry Z., Barbara A., and Barbara S. Everyone mute except Bruce. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, Mo. Bruce E., I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm in Southwest Florida, Fort Myers, Florida area, and very grateful for you, Mo, very grateful for everybody on the line, grateful for the introductory share there, and I'm grateful that we're reading out of the big book, which we always do, but and I think this is a wonderful part of the big book. The first time I saw this, I thought, well, I didn't get it. You know, I didn't, well, you know, yeah, I saw what it said, but I didn't get that work that I'm supposed to do it. I got what it said, but I didn't want it wasn't doing it, you know. And then finally, the guy showed me how to do it, and you know, gave me a sheet that basically laid this out, this type of thing out in blanks, so you can fill in the blanks and you can work through this. And it really makes sense. So yeah, this guy here that we're talking about, he's in big trouble. He's going to lose everything. He's already lost his friend, because it says here that he's mad at Mrs. Jones. He's burned up at her because she snubbed him. She committed her husband for drinking, and he's his friend. You know, so he lost his friend already, right? And that involved the personal relations. And I notice every time self-esteem, that the fear is bracketed next to it. I don't know exactly why, except that I think that self-esteem to me is when I have higher self-esteem, I feel good about myself. When I have lousy self-esteem, I feel lousy about myself. And then the fear comes in. So that's for me, that's what I see there. I don't know, maybe, yeah. So then, but he's going to lose his wife because Mr. Brown is going to take his wife. So he's good. Well, no wonder he's fearful. No wonder he's sweating out this security thing, because he's going to lose his wife. And then for his employer, you know, he's been padding his expense account. So he's going to lose his he's going to lose his job. And that's his security. And then he's going to lose his wife. She wants the house in her name. I don't blame her. She knows about his mistress. So she's going to put the house in her name, and then she's going to throw him out, and then she's going to have the house. You know, that's the way I see it anyway. So that hurts his pride and his sex relations and his security and fear. So he's living, this guy is living in fear and in insecurity. And resentment, and he's going to continue that way until he starts working through these steps. And I know I've lost all those things that are on there. I've lost jobs, I've lost wife, I lost a lot of stuff, and friends, you know. And I've probably felt before program, I felt the same way. Thanks, Mo, and I passed.
Hey, thank you, Brucey, getting us started. Up next is Sherry Z, followed by Barbara A. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Mo, and all those recovered and visionaries. Thank you for your service, and thank you for the lead this morning. It was beautiful. For so many years, I looked at this instruction on the fourth step and thought, okay, this applies to everything very big. So this applies to my mother's bulimia. This applies to abuse. And this, even though it's said in very strong detail, I'm resentful at her because of gossip. But I thought those things were real hurts. And the small things were like non-mentionables. And then I worked the fourth step with my sponsor using this paradigm. And I realized there was all these small snubs that were literally interfering with my connection with God. Like the way this person looked at me, I took everything so personal. And I had lists and lists of small snubs that I needed to actually give away and to work through in my fourth step. And that's what I do each day with my 10th step. I think it's so funny that my 10th step is not big things most days, because my life is very serene most of the time. The last few weeks, not so much. But it's all the little things. It's all the things like the person took too long in the Starbucks line in front of me. And those things literally were what I needed to really work the steps on. And that allowed me and is allowing me each day to become a better person. But there's lots more work to do, seriously. Lots more work to uncover and discover. So thank you all for listening. And I wish everybody an abstinent recovered day.
Hey, thank you very much, Sherry Z from California. Barbara A is up next, followed by Barbara S. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, my fellows. So grateful to be here. with all of you, compulsive overeater in recovery today by the grace of God. Here we are at the inventory. I know newcomers, maybe not. This is how I felt as a newcomer was, oh, my, I don't want to do this. And being in the program for a while now and doing this a couple of times, every time I do it and I go through this reading with it and I work with somebody with it, I get a new insight. And by the grace of God, today I was listening earlier, and I heard, this is what I heard, that we don't do this four-step inventory to make ourselves better persons. And you know, we had that in the step three prayer. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties. I do this inventory so that I can discover, discover, discard. I do this inventory to get closer to my higher power. Not to be the better person, the better sponsor, the smarter person. And that's where I was. I mean, I think until I heard it today, I have to do this fourth inventory. I have to be a better person. I do this inventory to clear away and be able to get away from the prejudice, to find out what's blocking me from really connecting with my higher power and recovering. I have to do this often, this step four. That's why I'm so grateful today that I am able to take sponsees through a step four, because I do it at the same time. I uncover, discover, discard. I hear so many things in this meeting, and I'm so grateful that I heard that today, that I don't do this inventory to make me a better person, to make sure that I'm doing, you know, everything right, that I'm getting, you know, so I can be perfect, to say, that's me. I do it to have a better connection with my higher power. And with that, I pass. Thank you. This is Barbara A. from California.
Yeah, thank you very much, Barbara A. from California. And before I take Barbara S., let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 65 in How It Works. The second paragraph down begins with, we were usually as definite as this example. We read all those examples ending with pride, personal sex relations, security, which is fear. And we're commenting on all of that. So I'll take Barbara S., and then after Barbara, I will take a new lineup. Good morning, Barbara from New York.
Hi, could you hear me?
I can.
Okay, that's great. Barbara S. from New York, grateful to be here and grateful to be in program. It's wonderful that we're reading this, because my sponsor reminded me that it would be good for me to be reading in the big book, page 417, about acceptance. And a lot of my issues that have driven me to the overeating and other mental issues are not accepting. Like, things must be the way I want it to be. As an example, I was sitting here this morning and thinking, I'm on a committee where I told the head of the committee one of my ideas, and she didn't say, oh, that's excellent, Barbara, excellent ideas. And that affected my self-esteem. Is she going to even listen to me? My pride, it's everything about me being accepted, and I'm waste, and it affects, it causes. I use food because I don't know how to, well, I can't say I don't know how. I have a book in front of me. I have the big book that tells us how to deal with these things, how to deal with these resentments. And most of them are just in my head and they drive me crazy. But it's just great. Here, sex relations, well, I don't know if it affects that. My security, absolutely. My personal relations, my absolutely self-esteem and pride. So I'm very glad that I'm on the meeting. Unfortunately, I'm not home that often at this time, but it's wonderful that I am here and listening. Thank you. Blessings. I pass.
Thank you very much, Barbara S. from New York. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Elaine S., New York.
Elaine S. from New York. Good morning, Elaine.
Sherry M.
Sherry
G. Washington.
Sherry M. Who was after Sherry M.?
Jan S. is in Sam, California.
Jan. Gotcha. Jan S. in California.
And that was Sherry H. M.
Oh. Thank you for correcting that. I had Sherry M. Sherry H. M.
Sherry M. also put her name in.
Oh, okay. So let's see. Sherry M. was first, and then Sherry H. M. was. Okay, got it.
Sorry about that, Sherry M.
I got it. Okay, I got the two Sherrys, one Sherry M. and one Sherry H. M. Got you both. Thank you for clarifying for me. Anyone else? Okay, we will go with Elaine S. first, then Sherry M., Jan S., and then Sherry H.M. Good morning, Elaine.
Good morning, Mo. It's nice to hear your voice. This is Elaine S., formerly from Santa Barbara, California, and now in New York. And what I love about this is how it's leading me to analyze what's going on in my life, the mess I've created. Okay, I'm resentful. Did I realize in the past, before this program, that I had these resentments? They were eating me up, but I didn't have a sense of them and the cause. Okay, so maybe I had the first two columns, but affects my. I have to analyze now how these resentments are eating at me, how they're affecting me. And ambition is always at one of them because I want things a certain way. I'm controlling. So ambition, you know, for me, it would have to be in all of these. And then, you know, right below this, I just can't help but focus on this as well. The very next sentence is, we went back through our lives. Nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty. And it's like this chart starts me in that process. So then I see what's going on. I'm in pain. I'm affected by all this. Now what? And I'm taken to the next step, which is my part, you know, my character defects. How I'm looking at things is what it's really all about. I can't change anybody else, but I can look at things differently. And in the process of continuing to work the steps, even starting earlier with steps 2 and 3, I know there's a higher power. I know I'm not alone. And I certainly know I'm not perfect, but there's something better coming. And I have all these wonderful fellows that have recovered and been recovered for years. And they continue to stay recovered. Some relapse. I've certainly relapsed. But we keep going. And the joy that comes, you know, that has come into my life, that comes into our lives when we're unblocked from God, which is what this whole process is about, is so amazing. You know, I can look outside. I look at the tree. I'm looking at trees right now. I'm looking at the sky. And the sun is shining. Just now started shining. It's so beautiful. And I can feel gratitude for this and feel it in my heart. In a way that I wasn't able to before I worked the steps. So it's wonderful being here with everybody, and I hope everybody has a wonderful rest of your day. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Elaine S., formerly from California, now in New York. Up next is Sherry M., followed by Jan S. Good morning, Sherry M.
Hey, good morning. This is Sherry M., gratefully recovered in Wyoming, and thank you so much for your service, Mo. And I was chuckling and laughing and thinking, well, my ambitions are I want to be the only one named Sherry. Why? Because I'm selfish in nature, right? And so, you know, it takes a while. And if you're new, this does look like a different language. I mean, for me, I can't go through this big book. How could I ever possibly make sense of how to do this inventory based on this page and the next page and the next page? It really doesn't make sense until somebody takes us through. And that's why we do need a guide. We need someone to guide us through and help us to see it. And I think the best thing for me today, after doing this over and over and over, and it's taken many, many years, but to really look at it. And most recently, when I just went back through the steps in a different way, you know, I had a loving sponsor, you know, after when I was in the middle of my fifth step, and I'm reading her my columns and we're getting through. And, you know, we didn't even need to finish it. It is so clear to me today. Do you see that you're selfish? You know, do you see your selfishness? Every single one of these ambitions that have gone astray are from the root of it. You know, selfishness and self-centeredness is the root of my troubles, and it is the root of my causes. It really is. My ambitions, wanting to be a certain way, afraid, you know, the fear of not getting what I want or losing what I have, it all is self, me. Pride, that's me, that's my ego. Personal relations, I need them to go a certain way so I'll feel okay. Security, I need it to be this. And guess what? In this, there is no God. No God. And I think that was the biggest eye-opener, is that the fourth step is my favorite step. I love this step because there is so much freedom, because if I can spot it, you know, if I can see what it is, then I can change it. And if I'm the problem, there's a solution. And if you're the problem or they're the problem, I won't even say the word on here, but it is a bad word. And that's how I'm going to be living my life. But this way, I have the power to change this with God's help. But when I am operating and having these instincts gone, it's only because I'm really not hands in the air. God, step three, I accept everything the way you want it. I give you my entire life. I give you my food. What are my food choices today? I no longer need to sit there 2 days in advance and tell God what I'm going to eat. I can sit in meditation and ask God everything. What would you have me do? You know, stuffing my face is selfish. That is a selfish act. Wanting to eat for comfort is selfish. It's all selfishness. This whole disease for me, it really just keeps God out. And when there's no God, I'm left with self. And it is such a painful place to live in this, where everything's bothering me all day. You know? And so thank you. And I'm grateful we have a solution. Thank you. I pass. Have a blessed day.
Thank you, Sherry M. from Wyoming. Up next is Jan S., followed by Sherry H.M. Good morning, Jan.
Good morning, Mo, and hello to all. This is Jan S., as in Sam, from California, Southern California. And this paragraph has brought back a lot of thoughts about the first time, all of my fourth steps, but the first time I did my step. I had step work. I had been in program about a month. I was brand new. And I knew nothing about 12 steps. I knew nothing about recovery. However, I was working with a therapist who actually is the one that got me into 12 steps and suggested I needed this program. So the first time I did it, I was in a 12-step study. And we did one step a month. And it was a pretty big group. But by the time we hit the fourth step, we lost about half the group. Some refused to move on, and they just lived in the fourth step. And I didn't understand it at the time, but yet now, you know, I have a different perspective on it. So I didn't have much to list the first time because I was still so numb. I was still shocked that I had a part in any of this. So I listed what I could. I had no, I don't really fear any of the steps or concerned about them or worried about them. I'm ever talking about it. But as it was shared before, the fourth step was, it was very opening, eye-opening. And it was, I was starting to be humbled enough that I could see I did have a huge part in this. Next time I did it, I put down one person in a situation, yet it was too hurtful to look at. So I went ahead through all my steps. Now time had passed at this. And the next time I was getting ready to do my steps, it came up again. The same person in a situation I really hadn't dealt with. It was still too painful, but yet it was on the list. It was never forgotten. It was on the list. And I had more healing and recovery now. And I was working with this therapist, so it's not like I had just shoveled it aside. It just, I couldn't go there with anybody else other than my therapist or myself. I couldn't go there myself. So time moved on and more recovery, and finally I was ready to address this person and this fourth step. And so I got a different person, not even my sponsor. I asked one person I really liked to do this with me. And I did a complete 12 steps on it. I started with one, went all the way through, and of course I was able to get through that fourth step. And from there, I just never really looked back. But it took me a while to be honest with myself about that. And now I do. Is that time?
No. So now else is unmuted.
Oh, okay.
You got about 11 seconds.
Okay. So now, through the grace of God, I continue doing 10 steps. And if I feel I need to go deeper, I'll go back to the fourth. And I'm just really grateful for this program and for all the shares today. And with that, I pass and wish everyone blessings. Thank you for letting me share.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Jan S. from California. And before I take Sherry H.M., let me remind everybody where we are in the big book. We're on page 65. Second paragraph down, we were usually as definite as this example. We read all those examples, and it ended with pride, personal sex relations, security, fear. Comments will be on that after I take Sherry H.M. I will take another lineup. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning. This is Sherry H.M., so gratefully recovered from Washington State. I'm sorry I was on unmute for a little minute there. Apologize for that. You know, this is, this is so important because this is about the buildup of emotions. What drives me into the food, whether I can see it or not, or believe it or not, what drives me into the food is that buildup of emotions. So people are usually so, you know, looking forward to losing weight in the program. It's kind of normal that people feel that. But that's why they say, you know, come for the vanity, stay for the sanity. I'm losing weight of resentments, lots of weight of fear, lots of weight of, my self-seeking, my selfishness, especially my self-pity. Ooh, that's a big one for me. So it's so important, and I'm so grateful for this that, uncover, discover, discard, or I like, recover, because that's what drives the whole machine. That's the gas that makes it all go. So I'm just so grateful that then I can think more about, what God would have me be instead of, oh my gosh, I can't believe that person, cut me off in traffic. And there was even a time at the beginning of the program that, actually, it was really a tragedy. It turned out okay, but a dog attacked my little puppy, and that just was absolutely devastating. She thankfully got better. We both had PTSD and everything. And anyway, but when I was at my refrigerator, this was early in the program, and I didn't really know for sure, but I was looking for something, to make me feel better. And God told me, Sherry, there's nothing in this refrigerator that's going to fix, the pain in your heart. And I thought, wow. So we're so glad that this is here. And I love that last week, I think it was someone said they have a column five other than my part in it can be column four. Column five, she said, how would God see it? And I just love that. So thank you. And everybody have a wonderful day, a happy, joyous, and free day. And I pass.
Thank you very much, Sherry H.M. from Washington. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph on page 65?
Amy Kay in Virginia.
Amy Kay, Virginia. Who else?
Larry G. from California.
Larry G. from California. I probably could take one more.
Janice K.
Janice K. All right, let's stop there. See how it goes. All right, we got Amy K., Larry G., and Janice K. Everyone mute except Amy K. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Mo. My name is Amy. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Virginia. And whenever we get to this page, I'm thinking about what came before our actor is self-centered and the paragraphs about actor and how the word actor comes from the Greek Hippocrates. So I'm really looking at how I'm a hypocrite. I'm looking at what they're going to tell me on page 73 is that I am the kind of person that wants to enjoy a certain reputation that I know I don't deserve. And so when I get to that third column, I articulate it. I've got a Teflon-coated ego. Every time it gets deflated through circumstances and a little bit of humility, it builds right back up again. So I tease out everything in this third column because checking words off just doesn't seem to do it to me. So I write down the voice of my ego, and what I find is that things affect my self-esteem because I feel and see myself in a certain way. I've assigned myself a role. So say the resentment is against my employer for treating me with disrespect. This affects my self-esteem because I'm the greatest employee he's ever had. I work hard. I'm well-educated. I'm intelligent. I know what I'm doing. And what that's covering is a fear that I'm not good enough. This affects my pride, which is the role that I've assigned others, how I want you to see me or feel about me. Others should see how hardworking I am, how worthy of respect I am, how I am the greatest employee that ever was, that I am the source of all things good, that I am the oracle, I am the person to come to for all of your needs. This affects my ambition, my wants, and my desires. And my wants and desires are always that things be easy and comfortable for me. In fact, I think something's wrong if things aren't easy or comfortable. It affects my security, what I think I need in order to be okay. What I think I need is for my boss to give me connection, direction, security, self-worth. I use my boss as a higher power. I place my identity and my security in the hands of my employees. And I am afraid that I am not worthy of that security. And then I dig into my fixed ideas, my flawed ideas that we agnostics has directed me to do, so I can see the decisions I've made based on self that later put me in a position to be hurt. And those are beliefs about personal relations. People in professional environments always respect the most educated, intelligent person. It affects my sex relations. A real man knows how to respect and give dignity to the women around him. I write these things out because I need to understand that the source of my troubles, that I am the source of my troubles, and particularly the problem resides in my head. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Amy Kay from Virginia. Up next is Larry Kay, followed by Janice. Larry G, followed by Janice K. Good morning, Larry.
Yes, this is West Coast Larry G from California. Thanks, Mo. Oh, I've learned so much from you folks. It's just amazing. Amazing shares. I just love the shares. Love to listen. Love to learn. Well, the fourth step for me is the beginning of emotional sobriety, emotional maturity. This is where it begins for me. I've been writing four steps since 1998. I got into another program, hit rock bottom. I went to Debtors Anonymous, and I promised myself that I was going to write a four-step every year, and I have. I don't say that to impress you. I say that because a good amount of those years, I use the steps just beat me into submission, especially in OA. I use the steps to beat me into submission so that I would stop eating. That was not very successful. But I've discovered, you know, over the years that I've learned to be more compassionate with myself. Every one of these qualities that affect us, our resentment triggers, can be, for me, goes back to the beginning of time. I grew up in a family, I was brutalized. Had an alcoholic father who was mean and nasty and psychologically and verbally and physically abusive. I had a mom that checked out, died of this disease at 52. I was on my own. I was isolated. I was alone. I was scared. And I had to fend for myself. And, you know, I was a big guy also growing up. And, you know, when you're a big guy, you have a target in your back. You're a magnet for older guys just, you know, beating the shit out of you from day one. And my dad never intervened. My dad would send you back out there. And I remember one time I was picking gravel out of my nose for 2 days. And so today, what's changed for me is I've learned to be more compassionate. Yes, these steps have helped me to be a better man. I've grown closer to God as a result of steps, but I've become a better man. I've become more compassionate. And the person I need to be most compassionate is with me. And today I work on being the big brother a little brother never had. I don't know what reparenting means, but I'm working on being the big brother, because that little brother inside is scared and terrified and small and feels alone most of the time. And I'll be damned if I'm going to use these steps to further brutalize myself. And that's what I did. And I, you know, we learn, and that's part of emotional. I think that's part of emotional maturity. And growing up in this program is that I learned to be compassionate with others, and I began to become compassionate with me. So these little qualities that my resentment and how it affects me dates back a long time, and I have to be respectful of myself. At the same time, I have to be fearless and thorough in my inventory, but I have to be respectful. That's why I will never agree that I'm one of the bozos on the bus. That's just, to me, so disrespectful, you know. And with that, I pass back to you, Mo, and thank you for your service.
Yeah, thank you very much, Larry G., West Coast Larry G. Janice, I can give you 1 minute. I'm sorry.
Oh, boy. Okay. This is Janice K. at Oregon. I could be wrong. First statement. Second statement. I have learned to be very careful of words with the term self in them. Sometimes self indicates that I am the one in charge. The outcome of step four is learning genuine humility and letting my higher power be in charge of all things. Hopefully, when I get through the steps, I will not be in charge of my esteem. I will be united with God, and I will have His estimation of myself to rely on, not my own. And I think that's about a minute. Okay, that was the Cliff Notes version. Thank you very much for listening, I think.
Oh, thank you very much, Janice K., for giving the Cliff Notes version. And thank you all for being here and sharing on this particular paragraph. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Sherry M. to read page 164.
Okay, our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day. for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you tread to the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.